This morning we're going to talk about something that's pretty important, very important. It kind of defines our lives, and it's especially close to me, being that I am your worship pastor in some sense. We're going to talk about worship this morning. So if you remember last week, we talked about finding contentment, talked about the fact that God is sovereign, so we can trust him, or so that we can be content. That was last week's sermon. So I heard from a bunch of you that said that was just what you needed to hear. So if you're like me, I left and prayed, God, I know that's an area I struggle in some. So God, would you please give me strength there? Would you help me to trust you better? Would you just help me to be able to learn and live the words that I spoke? So if you know anything about God, have you ever done something like, God, please give me patience. Please give me patience. What happens when you do that? You get tested. We talked last week about my anger towards other drivers. So I don't ever pray for patience because I don't want bad drivers in my way. So I'm praying this. And I don't know if any of you left and did it, but I prayed this. And what happened? I ended up getting tested on it. So what you'll learn about me is I'm not the most detail-oriented person, but I do have a plan all the time. I can see a big picture and a little picture. So I have a way that I think things are going to go last week. That was the way that I was going to do them. First thing that happened after I prayed that is that stuff started falling apart, my plan. So I had an opportunity to either completely forget what I had said and start stressing about it and worrying about it and getting upset, or trust God. I will admit my first instinct was to get stressed, but I was like, God, you know what? We just talked about this. Pray, give me the strength to overcome it. So one of the great things about God is he did. He gave me the strength to overcome it. So I wonder if he's doing the same thing for you. And we're not going to talk about last week's sermon anymore, but I encourage you to remember the theme this week is almost the same. Last week, God is sovereign, so we can trust him. This week, God is sovereign. God is in control. He's above all. So we worship him. So we're going to talk about worship this morning. And one of the things about worship is we do it all the time. No matter what it is, we are going to do it all the time. So the first thing that we're going to take from this is point one, if you're writing this down, and I think it'll be behind me. The big idea is God is sovereign, so we should worship him. Point one, we are created to worship. You were created to worship. So if we can agree that that is true, we need to define worship and what worship is. I looked up the definition of worship, and in the dictionary.com, I do everything on the internet, I don't actually own a dictionary, but I looked up the meaning of worship, and it just says that worship is the act of giving worth to something. It's a very simple definition, but worship is the act of giving worth to something. So, in our lives, do we give worth to things other than God? Absolutely. Is that always a bad thing? It's not. It just depends on what it is. So, we'll start with that very simple definition. Worship is giving worth to something. So, one thing that we fall into in the church is we'd start to define worship as strictly an opportunity to come on Sunday morning and sit together, and worship becomes something that we do only on Sundays. Sometimes it's just what the band does and they sing and we consider that worship. But what we want to understand this morning is that is not worship. So we're going to look at improper worship and we're going to look at proper worship. We're going to start with improper worship, move to proper worship, and then the whole point of doing the music at the end should be clear. We're going to give you an opportunity to worship before we leave this morning. So that kind of gives you an outline on where we're going. So if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to go ahead and get them out. We're going to turn in Genesis 3, 1 through 7. We're going to start at the very beginning. And we understand is worship is part of who we are. That is what we were created to do. And we're going to see where it kind of all fell apart. So if you'll turn Genesis 3, 1 through 7. It says, Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So right at the very beginning, I don't know how it is in your Bible. It's like 2 pages in mine. It is the beginning of God's story to us. We see worship take place, but we see improper worship. We see Adam and Eve, who were created to do nothing but worship God. God was there with them in the garden. They were created to look after the land, the animals, all of that stuff, and to have communion with God. And what did they do? They did the same thing we do. We trade God for something less. A lot of people, a lot of pastors that I've sat under will call that the great exchange. And the great exchange is that we trade, this is not the great exchange, the exchange is we trade God for something less. The great exchange, as we'll talk about later, is that God would trade our less for something more and give us life. So we see right at the very beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden trading God for the words of the serpent, for an apple or a piece of fruit. And we say, man, we would never do that. We'd never trade God for an apple. But we do it every day, don't we? We trade God for something almost every day. I know I do. One of the things that we look at, if we look back at our earlier definition, giving worth to something. How many of you watched the football games yesterday? First one was really good, right? I gave worth to the first game yesterday because the last 3.5 minutes of it, that was one of the best football games I've seen in a long time. It was really exciting. Rochelle's over. Rochelle is my wife. She's reading a book to Addie, and I'm sitting there going, yes, yes, yes. Like, you don't even like any of these teams. I said, I know, but it's so exciting. It's so fun. That game consumed me, so I gave worth to it. And what I want you to understand is, not all things that we give worth to are bad. I am not saying that football is bad by any means. I love football. I love sports. What are some other things we give worth to? We give worth to clothes, shoes, cars, sports, money, all these things. Some of these things are necessary. We have to have clothes. We have to have shoes. Some of us have to have cars. They're not bad. It's when we elevate those things to a position of power, to a position of God, that it becomes a problem. It becomes improper worship. Flip with me, Exodus 32. We're going to flip a lot. The words may be on the screen. I am not a friend of the tech team. I gave them a PowerPoint this morning, and I gave them the scriptures, but I forgot to put in the actual scriptures, and so they were scrambling this morning, so I apologize publicly to you guys for giving you a hard time this morning. But flip with me, if you have your Bible, to Exodus 32, verses 1 through 8. We're going to look at another example of improper worship. So setting up the story, setting up where we're at, Moses has been used by God to deliver the people from Egypt, where they were slaves, to deliver the Israelites. A lot of us know that story, and they're trekking through the wilderness. At this point, the Israelites are at the base of the mountain, and they have sent Moses up. And Moses is actually, a few chapters earlier, we have the account of Moses on the mountain with God, receiving the Ten Commandments. While he's up there, the Israelites are down at the foot of the mountain doing what we're about to read about. So Exodus 32, verses 1 through 8. I am in Genesis, which is not Exodus, so what I was about to read wasn't going to be right. I even put sticky notes on my Bible, and I was in the wrong place. So, what are you going to do? So the Israelites are at the foot of the mountain. Moses is on the top of the mountain. They sent Moses up saying, go up there and see what God would say. God said, I will come in your presence. The Israelites said, don't come in our presence. We're not worthy. Moses, you go handle it. And so he's doing it. So here's where we find the Israelites in 32 verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Now, if you're familiar at all with the Old Testament, what we find, there's a consistent pattern. God rescues the Israelites. The Israelites worship him. Then the Israelites forget about him. Then the Israelites turn away from him. And then God rescues, they cry out to God because they realize we've turned away. Then God rescues them again. And it's just this cycle all through the Old Testament we see. We'll see the Israelites go into captivity even later. They cry out, God delivers. It's just a constant process. So they're at the foot of the mountain, again, having sent Moses up. And they say, this guy Moses has been gone a long time. He may be dead, we don't know. And they lose their faith that quickly. Can any of you relate to that? Sometimes we pray things to God. Again, last week we talked about it, praying to God to deliver us from a situation, and he doesn't do it quick enough, and so we decide we're going to do it on our own, and we place our hope in something else. The crazy thing about what the Israelites are doing, if you're familiar with the story, when God, after all the plagues, and God is delivering the Israelites out of Egypt, what does he do? He tells them to go to the Egyptians and basically ask for their gold, because he's going to provide it to them and he's going to help them pillage the Egyptian people. So all this gold that they've got that they're burning to make this golden calf is actually Egyptian gold that was provided to them by God. And so they take this thing that God gave them and they turn it into something else. Again, they exchange God's gift for their own things. They take what God gave them, they burn it down, and they make something else. Again, it's what we all do in our lives. We take money, which God gives us, and we turn it into something else, and then we elevate it above God, and then we have a problem. We have improper worship. So, let me start wrapping this up for time's sake. So we're going to look at a few, those are just a few examples of improper worship. Let's look at a few examples of proper worship as we prepare our hearts to do so. If you'll flip all the way, we've done a couple of Old Testament, we'll do a couple of New. Flip all the way with me to Colossians. It's in your New Testament. It's at the back after Ephesians and Philippians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So we understand we were created to worship. We have a void in our hearts that tells us that. I don't have to give you examples of that. You all know you have a void in your heart that you have to fill with something. So we fill it, God or other things. So when we fill it with other things, that is improper. So we move forward to Colossians, and we read about why we really should fill it with God. Chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That is what is worthy of our worship. That God, the creator of all things, created us. That is where the object of our attention ought to be as we worship. It ought to be on the firstborn of all creation. The one that created all things, that holds all things together. God created us to return glory to himself. We are to worship the God who created the universe. Flip over to Colossians 3, 1 through 4. We find some further encouragement, further evidence of where our worship should lie. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Crossroads, the reason we worship properly, is because of these verses. Ultimately, it boils down to that. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. That's why we worship. That's why we give worth to God, who alone is worthy, because of the gift of Christ. The gospel of Jesus is our hope. The gospel of Jesus is the reason that we are gathered this morning. It's the reason that we're going to sing songs in a little while. We worship not just in this setting. We worship throughout our lives, throughout our weeks, throughout our days. We can worship God in our car. Some of the best times of my life have been worship in the car. I don't know about you. Again, being a music guy, music really speaks to me sometimes. And I'll be riding down the road and this song will flip through on my iPod. And it'll come on and it'll be exactly what God, I fully believe God has put that song there to communicate to me, because I've got my iPod on shuffle. Who knows what's coming next? But this song will come on, and it'll speak right to where I'm at and right to the things I'm going through. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I'll drive down the road and that'll happen. I'll just be overcome with what God has done, how God has delivered, and that causes our hearts to worship. We can worship in our car. We can worship God with the way we give our time. Again, what we give worth to. Do we spend every hour with sports on TV? It's probably not a good thing. It's okay sometimes, but do we spend every hour with sports on TV, or do we spend time getting to know our neighbors? When we're at work, do we engage in the gossip that goes on around us? Or do we take a step back and use that opportunity to bring worth to God, to bring glory to God by being an encouragement or by praying with coworkers? You can worship God everywhere. The other thing, worship is what we're doing. Don't miss out on what I'm saying. Worship is what we're doing. Worship is gathering before God. It is singing. It is praying. It is reading your scripture. Any of those things that remind us of who God is and what he's done. Now recognize that it's a lot easier to say, hey, you should worship with your whole life and worship all day long than it is to do. I understand that. Again, like last week, I told you one of the things that I struggle with is why I'm preaching this sermon. That's what God's dealing with me on. And again, this week, that's what God's dealing with me on, worshiping him at all times and in all things. We live in a culture that worships improperly and glorifies worshiping improperly. And so what we find ourselves in our situations, we end up looking at God and we end up saying, hey, we need to soften that because that doesn't fly well with our culture. We might offend somebody. We might hurt somebody's feelings. And so what we do is begin to pick and choose throughout Scripture what we're going to believe, what we're going to live, and what we're going to say, just so we can be tolerant. Guys, tolerance is okay. Again, in moderation, we can tolerate, but not to the point where we strip God of all he is. One of the quotes that I read that I found particularly meaningful to me this week said, we strip Jesus, talking about picking and choosing what we believe. We strip Jesus of his deity, his authority, his power. And then we wonder why when we talk about him, people don't worship him. Because we turn him into something that is not. A God that has to be softened, the God that we create for ourselves, no matter what it is, those are not worthy of our time, our effort, our worship. The God that created the universe is who we worship. So as we begin to consider that and worship together this morning through song, let's remember who he is and what he's done. Another quote that I read was, worship will explode in your heart the moment you realize who you are, who God is, the gap between those two things, and the fact that God sent Jesus to die for you, knowing who you are. That should stir something in your heart. Because if you know yourself, I know myself. I know who I am. I know how unlike God I am most of the time. And the fact that Christ still died for me, knowing that, the fact that God still loves me, knowing that, stirs my heart to worship him. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have an opportunity with the band. We're going to pray. Band's going to come up while we pray. And we're going to worship God through songs and through the attitudes of our hearts this morning. Remembering God is sovereign. God is above all. He alone is worthy of our worship. And so let's do that this morning and we'll pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that in spite of who I am, you still love me. I thank you that that is true for every one of us in here. In spite of who we are, you still love us, God. In spite of the things that we may put above you, the things that we may worship that are not worthy of our worship, God, you still love us. You still care for us. So, God, we thank you for that this morning. As we take this opportunity to lift our voices to you, God, I pray that we would lift our hearts as well, that we would think on the things that you have done for us. We think on who you are, and God, that we would worship you for it. We would give you worth this morning. So, Lord, be glorified in all that we do. Be glorified in these next few moments. It's because of Jesus we pray. Amen.